I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantext Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Dickerson, Callis behind the glass, and Jason Mackey. He's here. Good morning, Jason. How are
good
you?
Good to see you. Yeah, thank you for having me in here. Yeah, appreciate it.
I had a great show planned for us yesterday. You had a great show planned for us as well. Shot out some pretty good topics of different things. We're going to go all over the place. It's a Friday, so we're going to keep it loose. But then the news breaks yesterday,
yep.
Jason. TJ Watt, 3 years, $123 million extension, $108 million guaranteed, $41 million per year, obviously higher than Myles Garrett. Your initial thoughts, we'll start there.
I'm surprised it wasn't for more years, Doran. I love the contract. I have no problem with it at all. The yearly value doesn't matter to me as much. If you look at it in context, the current salary cap going up and up and up, it's what TJ Watt was going to make. It's what he deserves. No problem. I worried a little bit about the length of deal, what would come out, and I thought the Steelers actually did pretty well for themselves. It makes sense. If TJ Watt's productive, you pay him.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with that. If he's not productive, you're not on the hook for a bad contract. Yes, I realize it's like years four, five, whatever, but I don't want to be tethered to somebody in their mid-30s who at that point, if this goes poorly, will be breaking down, will not be an albatross, but it won't help me do good business. And they avoided all that. They avoided all that with what I thought was a very intelligent, fair contract for both sides. TJ gets what he wants. Look at the guaranteed money. He's doing very well for himself. And the Steelers got a smart end of this business-wise, and it opens them up a whole world of possibilities, stuff to do with that money when the contract runs its course.
We want to, people are talking about it's bad business, and there's,
how
that's exactly.
I don't see it.
Only way I could see that it's bad business. It's not for paying TJ Watt. It's not for the contract because of the term, and you only got him for 3 years. The bad business would be for me of not getting it done maybe sooner, and not getting out ahead of it, getting out ahead of Myles Garrett, getting out ahead of Max Crosby.
I guess.
That's the only bad business I could see of it for the Steelers.
So
side
what?
Of it.
You can save a little bit year over year.
Right. That's it. That's it. The market is the market.
Man, the current part of this is not what worries me. It's the down the road part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing Watt's age, knowing where this could go. If he's a non-productive player at 34, 35, like that's the guy I don't want to pay. TJ at 30, TJ at 31, TJ at 32. Based on the indicators that we have, man, I have no problem paying that guy that amount of money. He puts up typical TJ Watt numbers. I am thrilled to allocate that amount of my salary cap to that guy. Yeah, there's a little bit of a risk in it. Sure, there's a risk in every contract
exactly.
You do.
Exactly.
That's how this works. I'm going to make that bet with TJ Watt right now. I'm a little iffy on the end of the contract. That's why I'm glad they didn't overextend themselves or do something stupid.
I just, it is, I look at it like this. Are they better with TJ Watt?
Sure.
They're better with TJ Watt,
yeah.
Right? They're a better football team with TJ Watt. And the market is the market. Now, I know that the Browns, they messed the market up by signing Myles Garrett to what they signed him to. And I don't know
a
if they did.
Bit.
I don't know if they did that on purpose. Which I thought I gave them credit if they did do that on purpose, knowing that Trey Hendrickson was going to need paid, knowing T.J. Watt was going to need paid, making that negotiations for the other teams in the division a lot more difficult, and knowing that you're willing to just shell out money all the time if you're the Cleveland Browns. But the market is the market, and
right.
T.J. Watt is one of the best defensive players in the league. They weren't going to trade him. They were. I don't think they ever even explored trading him. And now they probably answered the phone to some teams, which, that's business. You're going to answer the phone. But I don't think that was ever in the discussion.
No.
I
He's one of the best defensive players ever, Doran. I mean, he could retire right now. He's going into the Hall of Fame. He's still productive. I understand there's sort of recency bias with how he finished last season. But, I mean, that costs money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That like you have two choices at that point. If you want to say, our team is, we're not going to have TJ Watt on our team. We don't want to pay that amount of money. Okay, then go ahead and make that case. I would disagree with you. They're a worse team if TJ Watt's playing for somebody else.
Yes.
So if you want to pay TJ Watt, this is what it costs to pay TJ Watt. That doesn't mean you need to do something silly. I don't think they did. I just don't understand the idea that this is bad business in some way. It's not. You can disagree with the business. It doesn't make it bad.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Kallus, you had a stance on it earlier in your early morning show. You don't agree with this business. That's kind of where you came down to it. And you don't agree of how the business went on, right? Like, you don't agree that he should have missed minicamp. You don't think that that's a culture setter. You think that's bad for the culture. You don't think that TJ Watt should have been, I guess, pouty and gotten his way, and you think the Steelers kind of kneeled down to TJ Watt, and TJ Watt won in this deal. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think it's a bad look for the Steelers. I think that when a guy has a reaction like that and then you pay him, you are prioritizing the individual over the team in some sense. I think the Steelers could have gotten a deal done sooner, and I also think that if they were even planning on paying TJ Watt before, then why is he holding out? Why is he posting things on social media expressing some disdain toward the team? Like, if they had this all prepared, then why did he react the way he did? I just think it's a bad look because he reacts that way, and then all of a sudden they pay him $1 million a year annually than Myles Garrett to appease him. I just think it's bad timing by the Steelers. It's more of a bad look for the Steelers than it is because TJ Watt did what he did to get paid, and he got paid. His mission is accomplished. But the Steelers, I feel like they bowed to
I don't think him. They had this all prepared, though, Kallus. I think this
That's
is
bad,
what it
though.
Looks
That's
like.
What I'm saying.
No, it's not. It's a negotiation. Right? Like, you have to give to get. There's posture. What you're willing to cede, and they're willing to cede the immediate. They're willing to give him the next couple of years and pay him handsomely. What would clearly matter to them was the length of the deal.
But the Steelers,
and by
the Steelers
bargaining, they got that.
The Steelers didn't need to negotiate, though. They had him under contract. He's got to show up for the team workouts.
That's just not how
I know,
it works.
But that, yeah. Like, he's going into the final year of his deal. That's precedent. He wants a new deal. You don't want him playing on a lame duck deal. Like, no player is expected to do that.
Well, I told Doran, like, I don't have to like that. How that's how it works. I understand
I know,
that's how it works
in the and NFL. TJ, that's not unique to Pittsburgh.
Well, I get that.
That's it's in pro sports, really, not just the NFL.
But the Steelers are in a position right now where they haven't won a playoff game in a long time.
Yeah.
And I want them to be able to construct a team in the most efficient way possible.
Well, I want them to pay everybody minimum wage, Kallus. Can we do that?
I get it, but there's so many question marks, Jason. There's so many
Well, if they would pay everybody, if they would pay everybody $100 a year, that would really, I think that would help.
There's so much uncertainty with this team that investing in a guy like Watt does not guarantee your success.
But what does guarantee that is my question. So if it's not Watt, what is it then?
You brought up a good point. Because when I hear Jonnu Smith, I think tight end, but he is a better receiving tight end, and they may use him as a wide receiver. I would have liked to see them get another wide receiver, especially since they dealt George Pickens.
What if they still do that?
Right, exactly.
What's prohibiting them from doing that?
Nothing. If they can spend money on TJ Watt and spend money on another receiver, that's fine. But
they
right
can.
Now they haven't.
They can. Doesn't change their situation.
At all.
For the immediate. Like, you can criticize them for not getting a receiver. That's a fair – I think that's completely fair. I think they're still a piece away wide receiver-wise. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, week one's not tomorrow.
Well, then we'll see. But I'm judging based right now that they've invested in TJ Watt.
Yeah.
Who was already under contract, and they gave him an extension to give him $1 million a year annually to appease him. So now he's paid higher than Myles Garrett, and they have yet to do that. And in years past, they have procrastinated on finding wide receivers. Brandon Ayuk used to be at the goal line, and then they sent it back the other way for a safety.
They got it. They have altered this roster as much as possible, in my opinion. There's only so much you can do. This isn't Madden. Like, You know, you can't just, you know, log, you know, press the button on the video game and be like, yeah, I'm going to trade this guy here. I'm going to actually create a player here. I'm going to do this. Like,
sure? Look at their offseason.
But that's what I'm saying. What else can they do?
No, I know.
I don't know where else, what realistic option that they could go. They've transformed this whole entire roster, and they kept TJ Watt.
They transformed it, but there's no guarantee that there's success.
There's never guarantee.
I know, but when you set a foundation, there are teams that have set a better foundation and used draft picks efficiently and have grown from that. The Steelers have not done that. They have not reset. They have not rebuilt. There are a lot of question marks for this season.
Those teams that have done that are the ones that luck out and draft a good quarterback.
Okay, well, have the Steelers done that?
No. But they had a great quarterback for 20 years. It's only been 5 years.
I get it, but they haven't won a playoff game in 8 seasons.
This is sports. This is real life.
They haven't won a playoff game in 8 seasons, and the last 3 times they were in the playoffs, 4 times they were in the playoffs, they had pretty much no shot to win. That's what I'm tired of. And so you're paying a guy who is an impact player, but that player has not been a part of any playoff successful season.
And is it his fault?
It's not his fault, but it's not a good time then to sign him to an extension. I say play this season.
I disagree, Callis. I think it actually is a good time to sign him to an extension because the Steelers are positioning themselves to have a very big discount at quarterback. After Aaron Rodgers, they're going to go in the draft and get somebody who's going to be on a rookie deal. If there's a time to sign a guy to an extension, it is during that window where you're getting a quarterback bargain.
Yes.
It is not the time to sign an edge rusher, an outside linebacker, to a lucrative extension is not when you're paying a franchise quarterback. The bad time, and I'm really going down the road here, but let's say they take somebody in 2026 after that quarter, if he works out, and like I hope he works out because then you've got quarterback figured out, but that next contract, that's when I'd really be skittish about paying an edge rusher $40 million a
year. You're not going to be able to pay anybody because all that money's going to go.
Right now, they're able to build their team a different way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the only reason why they did this. If they had to pay a quarterback – and a quarterback was under contract that was like, you know, I mean, even, you know, 40. If a quarterback was $40 million a year right now for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't think they make this deal.
I don't think they can make
they
this
can.
Deal, Doran.
Right.
Well, they paid Ben Roethlisberger for so long and still able to field a solid team. I mean, it's not impossible to do
that. Well, they did, and you would rather have the quarterback. Like, right. If you tell me I can have a quarterback who's a Ben Roethlisberger type, who's that productive and that reliable, great. I've got the biggest problem in sports solved.
Yes.
I'm sign me up.
But right this second, there is uncertainty in that. And maybe they'll take a quarterback in the first round next season, and that's fine. And there
I mean, Callis, it's an 8-year playoff drought. How do you not say there's uncertainty? Like, of course there is. Nobody. I don't think anybody's saying that.
Well, I'm also nervous
they're in a great spot.
They finish in the middle again.
Well,
and
they might.
They're drafting like
they might, but it depends on more than TJ Watt
and 22 in the draft, and you're not going to put yourself in a position to get one of those guaranteed top picks, like the guy that you want, because there's going to be up
that's
to 21
a fair
other teams.
Okay. I just don't understand what it has to do with extending TJ Watt.
They've created their backing here. They've made their way of accruing so much draft capital. Alongside of doing all these moves. Like, let's not forget about that, too, of how many draft picks they have next year to be able to package to go up if they want to, or to, in the following year, in 2027, trade a draft pick in that year. They've really done a great job, in my opinion, of trying to go for it this year. That's what they're telling us, of trying to go for it this year, but also protecting the future.
Yep.
Next year, they can still, they have a lot of draft picks. They have not moved off any of them. They haven't moved off to any of them.
And I don't think you can pass that in the room. And Doran, you would understand this better than anybody. If you make, if you're not adding personnel and showing some sort of effort for 2025, and in the back room, you're kind of eyeing, well, we're going to be bad. We're going to try to be bad. Like, that doesn't go over well with like a DK Metcalf negotiation, or what situation Jalen Ramsey's walking into, or what Cam Hayward deserves, or what TJ Watt's going to want on an extension. Like, these guys want to compete and try to win playoff games.
The reason why they want to compete too and try to win playoff games is because they're not the Browns. They're not the Carolina Panthers. They're not the New Orleans Saints. We're talking like the Steelers are the bottom barrel of the NFL. We have this wild vision because it's not up to our standard of what the Steelers have done in the last 8 years, that they're horrible. They're not horrible. So they're going to try to be in it. They are right in the middle, and that's a bad place to be. I understand that. It's a gray area. But the Steelers aren't a horrible team. Like, I think people are forgetting that. Like, if they're horrible, it's like, oh, you know, you're just, we're just not going to win this year. You know, it is what it is. And we're trying to put all these pieces together and it's just not going to work. Like, no, they went to the playoffs with Mason Rudolph and they went to the playoffs with Russell Wilson.
Yep.
So
they're like, second cut right now behind the elite teams in the AFC.
Right.
They're not the Bills, the Ravens, the Chiefs. But they're not in the rough either. You know, we've got the British Open on here. Like, right. They're not in the fairway, but they're not in a dastardly fairway
they're
bunker or something.
Cut.
Yeah, yes. They're in the first cut. And it might go really well. Who knows? I still think about, I don't know, 11-6, 11-7, something like that. Win a playoff game and look at the 2026 draft. Use some capital. Move up. Get your quarterback figured out. Is this team going to the Super Bowl? Probably not. But they're not winning three games.
Exactly.
That's the tenor around the conversation with this team sometimes. And I agree with you. It's because there's been so much success. People are spoiled around here.
Yes.
And that's an awesome problem to have. But, like, yeah, they don't stink.
No, they don't.
They don't stink.
Hey, first of all, I mean.
Well, we got to take a quick break. So hold that thought. I'll let you. We'll get into that thought coming up next. We got to take a break. We went very, very long. So, but I'll.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Dickerson, Mackey, Callis here with you on The Fan Morning Show. Callis, you had something to say before we ended the last segment. Do you remember what you were going to say?
Yeah, so Jason said that they're not winning three games, right? They're still kind of successful. They're not a horrible team. Part of me wishes, though, that they would win three games, maybe one season, and just we could stop pretending like all their off seasons have been spectacular off seasons. Because even though they've made all these big splashes and they've tried to pretend like they don't need to rebuild, the bottom line is that they've finished the same way pretty much every one of these last several seasons.
But what does that do? What does that guarantee? If you finish in the bottom barrel and you, quote-unquote,
rebuild. Get your quarterback
in
the future.
I mean, you could probably still do that this year.
Yeah, I know, but you could probably find a way to sculpt a better foundation because right now the Steelers do not have a foundation.
Let's be honest. Honestly, Steeler fans wouldn't be able to handle that. They say they can. And a lot of them say, like, oh, well, you know, maybe we should just be bad and, you know, have Mason Rudolph be the quarterback.
No
and let's
way,
rebuild.
Man.
They couldn't. They wouldn't be able to handle that. I'm surprised Penguin fans are handling it like that right now. I'm very surprised about that.
You'd be surprised, I think, for Steeler fans
as
well, then.
There's no way. People are freaking out about TJ Watt getting $41 million. Like, they're giving him, like, it's out of their bank account right now. You think they can handle three and what?
Dorn,
13,
I think they could,
70?
Man. I think they could. And I
really?
think people would be out. The vitriol that exists toward Tomlin right now in this town, I think people would start celebrating, thinking, Mike Tomlin's got to go.
Well,
this is going to finally push Mike Tomlin out the door. Tomlin's got to get fired.
If it meant Mike Tomlin went, okay, I can get on board with you.
You see what I'm saying?
But what if it doesn't? But what if he's here for the rebuild?
Then at least we can stop pretending like everything they're doing is working. Because it's not working.
I don't think
enough.
We're pretending that it's working, Callis.
We're living in purgatory. What are you talking about?
I'm going to drive you to Cleveland.
Exactly.
That's purgatory.
No, that's...
This isn't purgatory.
Hey, no, that's perpetual terribleness, and that's
what
no good.
What the hell's the difference between purgatory and perpetual
Cleveland is hell. There's a difference. Purgatory is the middle ground. Cleveland is hell. Hell's the bad place.
Isn't hell purgatory?
There's a huge difference. Right? Purgatory gives you a little bit of hope, right? It gives you limited suffering.
No, it doesn't.
But we're still suffering.
Who has hope in purgatory?
What? You don't know the difference?
I think purgatory is pretty helpless, Callis, personally.
No, purgatory is the place, if we're getting religious, is the place that you get sent if you've done bad things in your life. People believe you go there, suffer for a little bit, but then eventually go to heaven. That's what purgatory is. Hell, you are banished there because you did terrible things on your time on earth.
And that's Cleveland.
Exactly. Cleveland is hell. Right now, the Steelers are in a purgatory.
All right.
But is this really a purgatory, though?
Yes, because there's hope. You have hope. You're suffering with still that hope that there will eventually be something better for you.
Preach, Callis.
Man.
I mean.
Okay, so you'd rather be in hell then?
No, I would rather.
Well, if you rebuild, that's where you're going to be.
I would rather risk hell to eventually get to heaven.
Mm. But you just said that if you're in purgatory, you can eventually get to heaven, so.
Right, but so far we're not. We're suffering. And you could take a better route to get to heaven. Cleveland has just been banished to hell. I mean, they're not going to win anything ever because they're them.
Father, if I may. How are you getting three wins? I mean, look at the schedule. Look saying, at the roster. Where saying, are you getting three wins from?
I'm not saying they're going to win three games. I'm saying they've once again put themselves in a position where they very well still may finish with 9 or 10.
Okay.
And that's bad because they've already been doing that. We've already seen this movie. I want to see a new movie.
I think it's called Sister Act, isn't it?
Sister Act.
That was the first one I could think of.
Sister Act. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, listen. The Steelers give themselves a chance every year. I think people are underestimating how hard it is to win in the NFL. Like, I mean, that's a fact. And whether you want to believe it or not, people are underestimating how hard it is to play quarterback in the NFL, how hard it is to play, you know, defensive end in the NFL. And if you are good, you should get paid. And that's what TJ Watt is, you know, has embarked on. He got paid because he is very good and he's one of the best. It is very hard to win in the NFL, but if you give your team a chance every single year, which the Steelers have, then you have an opportunity to try to win. It's very hard, though. Like, it is extremely hard.
And yet different teams find a way to do it every season.
Like who? What's realistic different teams in the last 10 years? There's been really one team or two teams.
The Ravens have been up and down over time.
They haven't.
The Jacksonville Jaguars had a little stretch there where they were doing something.
I mean, it's literally the Chiefs and the Eagles.
The Detroit Lions.
What have they done?
Won like two games in 1 year, and now they're like these crazy threat.
These
the
teams
NFC.
That you're talking about won two more
Washington
playoff games.
The Commanders have figured it
won
out.
Won two more playoff games than the Steelers. These teams that you're talking about.
The Lions and the Commanders almost went to the Super Bowl.
They won two more playoff games than the Steelers.
You guys understand, Thorne does. Callis, what are the teams that you're talking about? What do they have? What's a consistent thread between all of them?
Yep. They have hope.
No. What do they have?
The NFC, which is a little weaker.
Callis! Come on. I mean, they have a quarterback. The Steelers have not done that. And again, that's not something, you can't do that all the time. No NFL franchise solves quarterback in perpetuity. And I don't think that's a religious term. I think it just sounds like one. They've gone 5 years without. That's a fair criticism. They haven't solved quarterback. They haven't gotten their guy of the future. They still need to do it. All of that stuff. Completely valid discussion. But we're wasting our time here until they have that guy. And right now, no. 2025 is not going to be that. Aaron Rodgers, you try to get as much production as possible. We're all in agreement that it's probably about 9, 10, 11 wins. And it points toward 2026. It doesn't mean they need three wins to get there. It just means they have to get that figured out. They have to get that guy right. And until they do that, we're not in a Ravens, a Bills, a Chiefs, a Lions discussion. We're just not.
Do you pay TJ Watt again? Let's say he's as productive as Doran predicts he is over the next three seasons.
Maybe.
Do you pay him again?
Maybe.
If you don't have your quarterback figured out by then?
I'm going to worry about 3 years down the road, 3 years down the road.
I get it, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because they're going to draft a quarterback, and it's assuming that quarterback that they draft is going to be productive for the 4 to 5 seasons.
That's where I think people are getting messed up, too, is thinking that because you would tank or have a three-win season or you're going to draft a first-round quarterback that they're going to be good.
No, like, but that's, we can, right. There's no guarantee there's no that guarantee that guy's that. Right.
But yeah. Then we can stop.
That guy can be good at 17. He can be good at 4.
Right.
He can be bad at 17. He can be bad at 4.
Right.
They still have to get the right guy.
It's exactly. Not just about the draft position as well. At least we can stop pretending like this team is actually going to do something different. Because every offseason.
Okay, so what if they do, though, this year?
Then I'll stop talking, but they have yet to do it. Over the last two off-seasons, I was critical of them until they went through their offseason and made the big splashes. And then I'm like, you know what? I'll give them a pass. I'm not giving them that big of a pass this year.
But
just because they signed TJ Watt to an extension, I'm not going to give them a pass here.
They've done
right,
more
but
than
what
that.
About the boatload of compensatory picks right. Here? I mean, those function as a move-up tool.
Yes.
I'm not saying that puts them up 1-1, but if they finish 17th, just to go with that, like they can get up to 10.
Yes.
They can get in the top 10 right now because of what they did in the offseason. It's a way to do both. Doesn't guarantee them taking the right quarterback. I'm just saying that their ultimate draft position that might come from a 10 or 11 win season, it doesn't have to stick because of the comp picks that Omar Khan picked up this offseason.
And that's great. And we'll see what results those end up yielding then when they make their picks. But right now they haven't, and I'm concerned.
Would you rather be the Steelers right now in quote-unquote purgatory, or would you rather be the Ravens right now, where you haven't even gotten to a Super Bowl, but you have invested so much money into your quarterback? He's been a two-time MVP. You have one of the best running backs in the league. You get close every year, but you never get there. Where would you rather be?
You know what the difference is,
Ravens,
though? Like, I would rather be the Ravens in this case, because when they went through their playoff runs, you at least believed that they had a shot to get to the Super Bowl. You at least had belief that they would win in the playoffs. I know they didn't get there. Everybody's competing with the Chiefs now, which has unfortunately been the summary of the NFL in its entirety for the last 5 years. But you thought that they had a chance. That's why I'd rather be the Bills, too, because despite their lack of success in the playoffs, they've run into the Chiefs every year. But you believed in the games that they played that they could have beaten the Chiefs, and that's the point.
Because they have a quarterback, if there's a case, because they have one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Then I hope the Steelers get one, and I hope this all works out. But again, I'm skeptical.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We want to hear from you next. 412-928-9370. What's your thoughts on the TJ Watt extension? I want to hear all angles. Good, bad, ugly, whatever you got.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, change makers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Thorn Dickerson, Jason Mackey, Nicholas Harry Cowles here with you on the Fan Morning Show. TJ Watt extended 3 years, $123 million, $108 million guaranteed, $41 million per year, which is more than Myles Garrett. Jason, what do you think that they're telling us? Like, what do you think that this message is? And not just with TJ Watt. The TJ Watt kind of ties the bow on, you know, the present, to put it underneath the tree to see, you know, how excited the kids are when they open it. But from DK Metcalf, you know, to Jalen Ramsey, Jonnu Smith, trading Minka Fitzpatrick, signing Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's not just moves that were made. They're pretty significant moves, whether they work out or not. They're very significant players that the Steelers have brought in. And, you know, three of them they paid. You know, Aaron Rodgers took a nice discount, which he did say on the Pat McAfee show before he signed. I didn't know if I believed him, but he was true to his word. He's like, I'd play for $10 million, and it's pretty much $10 million, which helps the Steelers out a lot. These are pretty significant moves. What are they trying to tell us?
You know what I think is interesting, Doran? They're not the same old Steelers with the same old stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was one of those after the season criticizing them for it, and I've tried to be honest and walk it back, or not walk it back, but I mean, they've changed my mind. It is a group that I don't know how much they can change because of the state that they're in, and you need to have a quarterback and all these things, and guys develop and whatever. But they are doing things in a different way. There is urgency that has come through in their moves. I don't know how you can look at this offseason and say that's not the case. I think they've also moved in a way that shows they're looking now and down the road. I mentioned the compensatory picks the last segment. I really like those for the maneuverability that it will give them. So I see an organization that is not punting on this season. It's trying to put as many chips to the middle of the table as it can, but also with an eye to the future in a smart way. And I guess the last thing I'll say is I think it's a, like, how does Mike Tomlin not see the noise, hear the noise? He's frustrated, clearly. Yeah. Like, nobody over there is having a real good time not winning a playoff game since 2016. It shows me that's resonating. They are taking as many steps as they possibly can without just magically having a quarterback drop from heaven or purgatory, as it were, as Callis might say. You can't just create that. But in the meantime, they've done basically everything else.
You know what? Something that has been said, but I think that, you know, with this regime and with this outlook and this new kind of way that they're doing things, because it is different. It isn't the old Steelers way. Maybe the foundation is the Pittsburgh Steelers, but you know the house is different. It looks different. It operates in a different way. They have done a good job too of getting rid of the alleged cancers of the team, like over the past 3 years.
Yeah. I agree with that.
You know, and bringing in and trying to supplement that too. Now, I know last year they wanted to get Brandon Ayuk, and I guess it was at the goal line. That didn't happen, but that's the price of ball, right? Like, you're not going to get everything you want. You can try, and I give them credit for trying. That's kind of where I sit. I was like, I give Omar Khan and this Pittsburgh Steelers organization credit for trying to get good players in here, but they've done a decent job, actually a really good job, of getting rid of the bad seeds.
Not even the bad, like, I don't even think cancer is the right word,
right,
Doran? Like, people that are not working toward the ultimate goal, yes, what they're going for.
Yes.
People that are detrimental to the cause.
Yes.
Like, George Pickens became more of a nuisance than an elite receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've sort of been able to deduce that some of the communication issues on the back end of the secondary stem from Minkah Fitzpatrick. Maybe I'm making too much of a leap there, but that certainly seems like what it's been.
I agree.
And you're bringing in people, you're bringing in new blood, you're changing things around. Hopefully you're establishing sort of a new attitude, a new culture. It certainly doesn't feel samey. Anybody who says the Steelers are like the boring, same old, just trying the same crap over and over again. Like, I understand the stuck in the middle criticism. That's valid until it's not. But man, they're not boring.
No, they're not. They're not boring at all. And, you know, I for one, I will give them credit for a lot of things. Like, I really do. And, you know, with Deontay Johnson, you say George Pickens, Minkah Fitzpatrick, you know, I mean, these are guys that weren't, like you just said, you know, operating to get to that one goal. And that is, you know, that same mindset that they're trying to build there with that culture. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. This is, it is very interesting that, you know, TJ Watt operated the way he did. And, you know, he was kind of ghosted. He kind of ghosted everybody and not hearing from him at all. And him missing minicamp, like, people are making, and even Callis, you know, earlier was, you know, making a big deal about minicamp. And I said yesterday, I was like, listen, I don't expect him to report to training camp if they don't have a deal done. Like, I didn't expect him to report unless this happened.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that they were pretty far apart. Clearly that they...
I thought we might see a hold in.
I didn't even think he was going to show up, man.
Really?
I really didn't. Because what was the point of missing minicamp if you're just going to show up at training camp?
If you hold in.
Yeah.
Don't you protect yourself against some pretty hefty fines by at least being there and running off to the side?
I look at it like this. If I got what I wanted at the end of the day, that $2.5 million fine that I'd receive in
it's preseason nothing.
Is nothing. Yep. It's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that's just context that we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, those are internal negotiations, a feel for things. You know what, Doran? Maybe I'm naive in thinking this. I do not care.
Right.
That's his business.
Right.
You want to put a picture on Instagram? You want to do this? I show up to minicamp. Don't show up to minicamp. TJ Watt's on-field ability, it's the least of my concerns right now with the Steelers.
Yes.
Like, if he's under contract, and we had every reason to believe that he is, do I need to see TJ Watt in Latrobe to feel better about something?
I don't.
Like, oh, really need to see him on the old backs on backers, or how's TJ Watt looking on rushing off the left side? Who cares?
Right.
If he's healthy, he's fine.
Traffic brought to you by Window Nation. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Does TJ Watt need to be used differently?
Yes.
Like, that's yes. Probably the... I bet you that was a part of the negotiation process. I'm not saying that like, made them, you know, financially come to terms, but I'm sure TJ Watt was like, how am I going to be used moving forward?
I think that's a fascinating question with the Steelers because, one, it's not just TJ Watt. Like, where does Jack Sawyer fit into this? Where does Nick Herbig fit into this? Where does Alex Highsmith fit into this? I don't want TJ Watt in some, I don't know if this is the right word, static spot.
Mm-hmm.
What's the spot for, like, you're not moving.
Static,
like, I didn't know whether static was like bouncing around. I should know this being the writer.
Stagnant, maybe?
Stagnant, yeah. I should know this better. But anyway, like, I want TJ Watt moving around the formation, and I also want the Steelers to kind of freely substitute and keep some fresh pass rushers and get some new guys involved because I think they have the personnel to do it.
They have the depth to do it for sure. And, you know, now this helps out so many other players. This helps out Joey Porter Jr. This helps out the back end. This helps out Jalen Ramsey. But I think it just comes down to, are they going to be able to utilize the weapons correctly? Are they going to be able to utilize the skill sets correctly? Now that the TJ Watt is reporting to training camp, he's ready to go. Are they going to use TJ Watt in different ways? Are they going to utilize Jalen Ramsey in different ways? Or is he just going to be just in one place? Are they going to utilize Peyton Wilson correctly? Or is he just going to be in one place and do one thing and have one responsibility? Like, you have so many toys now to play with, you got to utilize it. Like, that's kind of the next level of
offensively
this.
And defensively.
Offensively and defensively. Now it comes down to the coaching. And how are you going to utilize the $176 million defense, I guess. I think that's the number.
Oh, buddy.
How are you going to utilize that and make sure that it's the number one defense in the league? Or number two or number three?
I thought the Steelers' defense underperformed last year, not just stopping the run down the stretch. That became a pretty significant point of conversation. Something we're forgetting about is the lack of pass rush. Their sack total, I think, was their lowest since 2016, something like that. And it started out good. I didn't like the way it finished. I think some of it was Watt involved. I don't think he was healthy down the stretch, but that's what I'm saying. Like, more pressure on the quarterback. I want to see more secondary blitzes. I don't know if that's where Jalen Ramsey comes in, not necessarily his greatest skill set, but get a little bit more creative. If you've got a safety that's, you know, playing a little bit more, maybe that's Juan Thornhill, bring Deshaun Elliott.
Yes.
I don't know. I like the way you put it with using a bunch of different toys, and that's kind of what Terrell Austin needs to do. Try some things. Don't be predictable.
Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, a high of 79, low of 68, 50% chance of rain.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.